Wonder if you'd like to turn with me to the Old Testament, to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And I'd like to focus our attention this morning in this devotional time really on the event or the incident that's recounted to us here in chapter 20. Of course, the focus is King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And in the opening verses of chapter 20, we discover that great armies were lined up against Jehoshaphat and his forces. We begin to read the story at verse 1. Sometime later, the armies of Moab and Ammon, together with their allies, the Meunites, invaded Judah. Some messengers came and announced to King Jehoshaphat, "A large army from Edom has come from the other side of the Dead Sea to attack you." And then we go on to discover in the following verses that Jehoshaphat is frightened, is afraid, that he prays to God and seeks God's intervention and God's help. And just a few verses on, verse 5, we learn that the people of Jerusalem are gathered into the temple, and there Jehoshaphat comes before God in prayer, and we have an account in the following verses of how the king of Judah poured out his heart before God and sought God's help and God's intervention as they confronted this problem. And what I want to suggest this morning as we focus on these verses, that here we see a situation where a godly man, a godly leader of God's people, is facing an overwhelming challenge. As Jehoshaphat heard the message from the messenger of the armies that were lined up against his kingdom, Jehoshaphat immediately knew that these armies were far more powerful than his army. There was no way that he could cope with this crisis. And instantly he was aware of his own weakness in this situation. Not only did he know he was weak, he also knew that he had virtually no time to prepare. And so this was an incredible challenge that was confronting him as the leader of his people. Of course, in my position, I immediately think of the challenges that are confronting the Church of God today in regard to world missions. And as I reflect upon our response as Baptists to the challenge of worldwide missions today, I'm conscious that there are incredible forces that are reined up against the people of God. If we think about the task of joining with Christians in the developing world in the work of the church, and as we seek to respond in the name of Christ to many of the needs and opportunities that are presented before us and challenges, we are not only undertaking our ministry on a human level. It's not only human forces that are affecting the ministry, but there are principalities and powers. We're engaged in spiritual warfare. And we're conscious that all of the spiritual forces at work in the world that are reined up against God confront us as the people of God as we endeavour to engage in ministry in the name of Jesus. Over these recent days, I believe Theodore Williams has shared with you some of the statistics that reveal the huge number of people in our world today who are living without a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And surely this challenge of one out of every four people alive in the world today living without a knowledge of Christ surely appears to us as big a challenge as those armies that appeared to Jehoshaphat so many years ago. If any of you have had the opportunity of visiting some of the burgeoning cities in Asia, like Manila, Bangkok, Calcutta, Dhaka, and there seen the incredible plight of the poorest of the poor in our world. I mean, this is an overwhelming challenge, and what do we have to address needs like that, even in the name of Christ? We have a lady from Malaysia as one of our staff members in our office in Melbourne. She and her husband were missionaries, and indeed her husband Richard is still in Malaysia at the present time, fulfilling his contract with his employer. And she was just sharing with me yesterday when we talked briefly in the afternoon the plight of the Christian community in Malaysia and how it's against the law for any new churches to be opened up and how the Christian community has to negotiate, go through a lot of red tape with the government to make sure that they don't break some of the very stringent laws that have been introduced by the majority community because they have power of the government in that country. There is real danger for many within our world today because of the militancy of Islam. Something like 900 million Muslims living throughout the world today. A very powerful force because of their size and because of their wealth, because of the petrodollars. And this again rises up as a tremendous challenge to the church. And then, of course, we're all conscious of limitations in the economic field and the personnel field when we seek to respond to the needs that are presented to us. These are some of the great challenges that face us. And it's interesting, as we read through chapter 20, to see what Jehoshaphat's immediate response was when his heart was filled with fear when he heard the news from the messenger that these armies were lined up against his people. In verses 4 and 5, we see that his immediate response was to gather the people of Judah and Jerusalem together in the temple and there come before God in prayer. This man of God, his immediate response was to come before God in prayer to seek a solution to this problem. I had a marvellous experience just over 12 months ago to visit with many other Baptists from around the world, South Korea, and there have an experience of Baptist church life in Korea. And one of the overwhelming impressions that I came away from that visit with was the tremendous interest that Christian people in that country have in prayer and the wonderful way in which they are committed as a group of God's people to pray. And I'm sure that their commitment to prayer is one of the very significant reasons why the church in Korea is one of the fastest growing Christian churches in the world. And that was a message that I brought back to our ABMS board when we met in August last year. And we were facing some special problems within the mission at that time. And although as a group of God's people we believe in prayer and we've been committed to prayer, we came to God in prayer in a new way, I believe, last year in our board meetings. And there was an immediate sense of God's presence and God's response. On many occasions throughout those 3 days of meetings, we would break our business sessions and gather into little groups of three and four. And there we spent 5-10 minutes seeking the face of God and asking for his intervention and his help. Jehoshaphat's response to this challenge was immediately to go to God in prayer. And then as we go on through the chapter, in verses 15 and 16, we see God's response. And the first thing that God said to Jehoshaphat in the face of this incredible challenge and this great danger was, "Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged in the face of these powerful armies, because this is not your battle, this is God's battle." This was the message that immediately came from God. But they weren't just to stand still and let God provide the solution, but God goes on to tell them that they were to march, that they were to move forward towards the enemy. And God had a great surprise in store for them. God does have surprises in history. If you can think just back to 2 years ago in 1989, who in the world would have predicted the downfall of the destruction of the Berlin Wall? That city that had been divided virtually since the end of the Second World War. Suddenly the wall that divided East and West Berlin came crumbling down. Momentous changes predicted by no one as they looked at the European situation. Who predicted the demise of communism and the demise of the Soviet power in Eastern Europe last year? And all of us, as we'd been overwhelmed by the events in Berlin the year before, just watched with incredulity as one East European country after another introduced radical change. And even with that experience, who could have predicted what has been happening in the Soviet Union in these last weeks? Incredible events. And I think it was the Sunday Age that I read last weekend. The writer suggested that there were only two significant nations now in the world where communism still had held sway. And that was North Korea and China. Who could possibly have predicted that, thinking back to the attitude of the West towards communism back in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s? And yet I want to say to us this morning that this is not happening just simply because of events on a human level. These are God's surprises in history. And they remind us, as the people of God, that God is in control. And he has surprises, and he will bring about the changes according to his will and purpose. And then I want us really to note how the story ended. We go across to verse 21. And there we see that God had had a very unusual weapon to use to confront these forces that threatened the people of God. As his people went forward towards these threatening armies, what did they do? They lifted their voices in praise and thanksgiving to God. What an incredible weapon. What would those battle-hardened soldiers within the Judean forces thought of this strategy? I mean, they would have laughed, wouldn't they? Fancy the people of God using just their voices in praise, in singing, to confront God's enemies. But I think this suggests to us that as we, the people of God, engage in God's ministry today, that some of the weapons that God uses to bring about his purposes, to extend his kingdom, can be very unusual weapons. Weapons of prayer, weapons of faith, weapons of selfless giving. And then if we bring our eye down to verse 27, we see that God gave the people of Judah victory. When they arrived at the battleground, they discovered that these three armies that had been in coalition together reined up against the forces of God, that in the night they had turned on each other. And when the people of God arrived at the battleground, all they discovered were dead bodies. God had indeed brought victory to them. And it seems to me that there are a few very important lessons for us to draw from this very wonderful story in the Old Testament. And the first lesson for us as the people of God, which I think is enduring in every generation, in every age, that when we are confronted with danger, that we must immediately turn to God. He is the sovereign Lord. He is our Saviour. And when confronted with danger, we must immediately turn to him and seek his face, because it's in God alone where help is found. That's the first very important lesson. The second thing that I want to suggest is that as the people of God, we need to be continually a people of praise, a people with a spirit of thanksgiving and praise upon our hearts, people who sing a joyful noise to the Lord, and like Jehoshaphat, people who are conscious of our weakness, of our humanness, and therefore a people of confession and a people of faith. And there's a reminder here too of something that we so often forget, that it's God who saves us with his power when we turn to him in a spirit of thanksgiving and confession and faith. Our salvation doesn't come from human sources. Our salvation comes from God. It's God who acts. So then, as God's people, we are to praise him. We're to be a people that give him our total trust. We are people who are to live out our lives in a spirit of thanksgiving and faith.